Would you turn with me tonight to the book of Psalms and Psalm 115 and verse 12. Psalm 115. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. In a moment I want to relate this to what we were thinking of this morning, but the way in which I want to apply it particularly tonight is quite obvious that here we face a new year and we gather in church to bear witness where our confidence lies. We want here to acknowledge what the Lord has done for us in the past and at the same time to commit the future to Him. We publicly gather together when we seem to be the only congregation in the town that is doing so. But by doing so, we are stating who is our hope. We are stating where our delight is for 2006. And we are publicly committing this new year to the Lord for all that it holds for us, for all the different shades of experience, for all the variety of occurrences, for the sad times, and also for the glad times. And as we commit these days, months, this year to the Lord, we're doing so not with a lingering doubt, not with a degree of apprehension, not with unease or uncertainty, but we are committing these days to the Lord with a quiet, yet a strong confidence in our God that is derived from this text. He will bless us. That position of confidence in the Lord, that stance of relying on the Lord, is not wishful thinking. It's not sentimental optimism. It is a position that comes from the past dealings that we have had with God. Through 2005, through years that have passed before us, through the different years and experiences of our Christian journey, we have found that when indeed we put God to the test, God has not failed us, although there are many occasions when we have failed Him. And yet even that failure on our part, He deals with us in His grace. God indeed has been faithful to us, His people, and to His word given to us, His people. Our past experience at the hand of God has been of His faithfulness, of His reliance, of the dependability of God. And that past experience that grows bigger and gets stronger with each passing year that we go on in life, that is the basis for our confidence as we face an unknown and an uncertain future. We can, as we stand quite literally today on the threshold between one year and another, we can look back and in our mind and with our soul active, we can draw upon many, many different things and ways in which God has truly visited us and blessed us. And we can draw on that experience that gives us encouragement to face the future year we now face. At the threshold of this year, look back on 2005, look forward to 2006. That's the way I want us to read and to use this verse tonight. But before we get into that, I want to perhaps set it in its context, because this psalm was a psalm that was used in the temple worship of God, And it was used by God's people after they came back from exile. Remember, we were speaking of it this morning, the way in which God's people were put into exile by God Himself because of the problem that there was of sin and idolatry amongst them personally and nationally. And it was God who put them into the hands of the Babylonians and put them in exile into the land for 70 years until they learned their lesson. And now after that exile is over, here they are back again, restored not only to the land, but more importantly, restored to God. And this psalm is lifting up the character of God and is contrasting the character of God with the worthless idols of the Gentile nations that are round about him. The link then is obvious with what we were thinking of this morning. I have plans for you, says God. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. The people of God were in exile because of that deep idolatry. And they were thinking, well, it's a bit drastic, God putting his people into exile. They weren't understanding the character of God side by side with their own circumstances. Where is the covenant God now? Where are the promises of God, the commitment of God, the interest of God, if this is what God is allowing to happen to us? And then there were the false prophets who came amongst them and tried to say, it's only for a short time, it's only for 2 years, and then this Nebuchadnezzar is going to be off the throne and you're going to get back home. All of these problems were going round and round the nation, just as our grassroots works and spreads things, so it worked in these days also. And the message of these false prophets and the thinking of these things was spread throughout the land. And Jeremiah therefore comes and he says, no. As long as it takes and as long as is needed, 70 years it will be, to burn out that idolatry by putting you into exile in a strange land. And it was for a good spiritual purpose that it was done, to root out that sin and that rebellion and replace it with devotion and dependence on the Lord. Despite what they were thinking, God had good plans and a bright future for them. And it's out of that circumstance that the summation here in verse 12 comes. The Lord hath been mindful of us. The Lord God thought on us. Even when we were entertaining these hard thoughts about him in Babylon, God thought on us. God dealt with us. And now God has brought us back into the land of promise. Now, if God has done that for us, when we were so offensive to him, if God has done that for us, what will he not do for us now that we're back in the land of promise? God hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. We are therefore given a key. If we can just finish off our application for this morning. We're given a key that will unlock many of the dark events, the difficult phases, and the testing moments of life, even as we might find some of them in 2006. But now that they're back home, they're looking over these events, and this is what they're speaking about. Two simple thoughts, briefly tonight. The first thing we have in this verse is the testimony to God. And the second thing we have is a call to trust in God. A testimony to God and a trust in God. First of all then, here we have the psalmist speaking and giving us a testimony to God. He's looking back, as we said. Not only we're doing it over the year that is closed, but here is the psalmist covering a much, much longer, greater spell and period of time. He's covering 70 years at least. And what's the testimony that he brings? He's speaking of the character of God and of God's relationship with his nation and his people, with his church. There is no change in God. There is no change in his being, in his character, in his abilities. There's no change in the purposes and plans that he has for his own. God is utterly reliable. Even when we're going through dark passages and deep water, which leads us to doubt and to question God's commitment to us, when we get out on the other side, we can speak with the same note and tone as these people were speaking. God hasn't changed. He is utterly reliable. His word is firm. His purposes aren't changing. They're not qualified. As we review our year, as we look back over 12 months, as we look back over 12 years, we can see how we have varied. We've been up. We've been down. We've been near. We've been far away. We've been warm. We've been cold. We've been enthusiastic and energetic. We've been lethargic and indifferent. That's us. But for our God, with our God there is no variation. James chapter 1 and 7, there isn't even a smidgen. There isn't even the shadow of turning. There isn't even the flicker, suggestion of variation with our God. He is utterly dependable. The Lord has been mindful of us. And just think of that as it applies, first of all, to the timescale these people were on. It applies to the longest of dates. Acts chapter 7 gives us two verses which help us to set this so clearly in our minds. Acts chapter 7, first of all at verse 6, we read, "And God spake on this wise in this manner, that his seed shall sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. Here is God saying, just as he said to the people in exile, so he said to them, you're going into Egypt and you're going to be there for 400 years. And just go through that same chapter from verse 6 down, this time to verse 17. And you read there, "But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt." When the time came, over this long period of time of 400 years, God didn't lose sight of the clock, didn't lose sight of the calendar, didn't lose sight of what he had said and what he had spoken to his people. God was dependable over 400 years. We saw that, and we can just refresh and remind ourselves of the same thing on a smaller time scale about the exile. Jeremiah had said that the people were going into exile. Jeremiah had said it. We saw it in chapter 25 of that prophecy in our reading this morning. What happened to these 70 years then? Did they happen? Did they fulfill? Were they upon the God's people? Yes, they were, because we read 2 Chronicles chapter 36 this time. At the very end of that book of 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and we're reading at verse 17. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew the young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried away to Babylon. There's the exile, promised by, spoken of by Elijah, by Jeremiah, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. And then we have it, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. Putting it that way, to fulfill 70 years. Over the longest dates, God is utterly dependable. Time can change us. It affects our strength. It affects our memories. It affects our abilities. Time has its effect upon us in so many different ways. But time does not change our God. Doesn't change his promises. Doesn't affect his ability. Doesn't blunt the memory or the promises that he's made. This is the testimony that these people were bearing in Psalm 115. Over the longest dates, 70 years, go back to Egypt, 400 years, God is utterly dependable to what he has promised. 400 years, 70 years. Today we have so many things that we pick up, and sometimes we're now doing it almost unconsciously. We look for the BBE, best before the end of something, the shelf life of a product. We pick it up off the shelf and we keep on checking it. Well, there's no shelf life limit to the promises of God. It's not expired by the passing of time. Some things you go through cupboards at home and you find that they're dated 2004, 2005, or maybe simply December 2005. They're no use, you throw them out. Not with the promises of God. There's no limit. They're not date limited. There's no shelf life on these promises. The testimony of God. But the second thing we're told here is not only the testimony of God over these longest times, but also in the face of the greatest of difficulties. Abraham was promised a son. He was in his old age, and Sarah was up there with him. And Sarah was past the physiological age of bearing a child. But yet the promise was fulfilled. Jeremiah himself gives us this phrase that sticks with us so often. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, there the Son of Man is taken, and he's taken into a valley, and he's shown a valley, and it's a valley of dry, dead bones. Spiritual life is gone there. That's the representation that's made. This is society today without any vestige of interest in things of God. And the question is asked, can these bones live? We can't make them live. Is anything too hard for the Lord, though? In the face of the greatest of difficulties, God indeed made bone to come against bone, and he put life back where there wasn't any before. And the valley of the dry bones once again came to life. The greatest of difficulties, God's promises are not thwarted, but they are fulfilled. His promise, his power isn't compromised, but is an exercise. The greatest of difficulties are but opportunities to see the greatness of the God whom we have. His arm is not shortened. His ear is not heavy. The obstacles and the problems are not with God. They are with us because we don't trust Him as we ought to. We don't speak and we don't pray to Him as we should. We don't wait upon Him and depend upon Him as others in the past. God's testimony. Yes, and God's testimony in the face of so many doubts that arise with us. We can feel forsaken, feel lonely. We can so often face the challenges of today living as a Christian in our society, and we feel so powerless in the face of society and these problems. These problems give doubts in our minds, develop tunnel vision, and we sometimes can retreat into a monastic style of Christian living, simply entertaining and going amongst our own selves or those sympathetic with us. And doubts come creeping upon us. God's promises are there for us, and we must never ever lay beside them any of these doubts. We are facing problems, they are different, yes. Other generations that have gone before us haven't to face them, but they are to face problems that we don't have. And when they faced their problems, they found that God's testimony was true to them, that He was faithful and dependable, and therefore we can draw on their experience that He is the same with us. He will not, He cannot abandon or forsake His work or His own. Look back then. Just as we read there in Samuel, of the way in which the Ebenezer was raised as testimony of God's helping of them. The testimony of God's dependability and faithfulness. We can repeat it in so many different places. David, when he was challenged to go out and face Goliath, what does he tell us? 1 Samuel 17:37, he says, I remember the way in which I fought against the lion and the bear and such like, and I defended the sheep that I was responsible for. And God who helped me defending them and fought against them, that same God is going to help me now to fight against Goliath. The use of the testimony of God's faithfulness from the past to the present. Joshua, in chapter 23, Verse 14, there he's gathering the nation together. It's a long time past. It tells us the beginning of the chapter. A long time has passed and Jeremiah and Joshua has grown old. And now he's gathering all the people together. And he's giving them a farewell sermon and lesson. And what does he say in verse 14? He says, you know, and we've been through things. You know, and we've had to fight battles. You know the way in which when we came out of Jericho and when we came into the land of promise, the nations we had to fight, the terrain we had to cross, the kind of battles we had to engage in. You know what it's been like for the last 20 years. You know. And not one promise of the Lord has fallen to the ground empty. Not one thing that God has spoken of has been unfulfilled. Not just the testimony of 1 year that we have looking back over 2005. Here is Joshua looking back over a lifetime. And he's drawing the same conclusion, but with much, much more confidence to pass on than we might have. Fighting nations, but always finding God faithful and true. The testimony of God then. As we enter this new year, we can draw on these things and we can go in encouraged with the promise that they that honor me, I will honor them. We need to venture out in faith, by faith. Sometimes that's a journey like a child. A child just takes one step and falls over. But that's not the end of the experiment. The child either takes himself up or is lifted up and starts again. And this time walks two steps and falls. Then four steps, six steps, 10 steps, but keeps on extending his range all the time. Hesitancy, unsure to begin with. But the more we try, the further we go, the more sure we become. And we're confident in the testimony that we have of God's dependability. When we put him to the test, day after day, year after year, we find that he is more than equal to anything that we can bring to him. God has been mindful of us. The first thing that we have here, the testimony to God. And the second thing, briefly, not only the testimony to God, but there is therefore a call and obligation to trust in God. To look forward. And to go forward into this new year, whatever it might hold, but to remember that God has not changed. What we've been putting down in our minds, what we've been thinking of with our soul just now, the experiences that we've gathered together in a brief way tonight, bring home to us time and again this testimony that God is reliable and dependable. And just because we go into 2006 out of 2005, it doesn't mean that God has changed one whit. He stays the same. He rebukes every doubt that we have. Whatever work we're called to, whatever is before us and confronts us, difficulties, competition, arguments that are deployed against us from society today. When we see all the problems, just like the valley of dead bones in Ezekiel, we can ask ourselves the question, will God bless? Can God bless us? People are so entrenched in things of the world. We've seen it in these past, 2-3 weeks. The way in which people are so content with what they've got. They're not interested in God. They're not interested in God. See the little handful we have. One church open in Fort William tonight. People are not interested in him at all. But let's look to God and not to these difficulties. Let's rely upon him. We've looked at and seen his testimony from the past. Putting him to the test, he's faithful. And God has said countless times in Scripture, my people will not be ashamed. Rebuking doubt. I can put in quite easily here a word of testimony, because over these past 2 or 3 weeks, when we've been looking at our own finances, there have been times when doubt has come strongly to myself, will we make it this year? Will we get across the line this year? There's been bigger and bigger steps and gaps to cross and to take. And yet we found, we'll see the figures quite soon, but so far we've been able to make it. So far we can say the Lord indeed has been mindful of us, rebuking my doubts that God's work done in God's way will never lack God's support. And when we think of God's dependability and faithfulness in these ways, our faith is strengthened. Not only are doubts laid to one side, but our faith is strengthened because we're living in a world where there is no sympathy to our Christian faith and we're under attack constantly. We can be weakened, we can be distracted, we can be torn asunder with the attacks of the world to undermine what we say and where we stand. We begin to wallow. We begin to drift. We lose purpose. We lose direction. It's corrected. All of these things are corrected by simply thinking of God's faithfulness to strengthen and encourage our faith. Isaiah 40:30 says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." It is, after all, His church, His kingdom. It has been purchased by the death of His Son. God will never, ever, ever forget or neglect even one person bought at such a cost as the death of His Son. We so often fail to appreciate fully the commitment of God to the church and the cause of Jesus Christ. God is fully committed and He will fulfill His plans and His purposes, and nothing will thwart Him or frustrate Him in fulfilling what He has said. And so therefore, if this testimony we've been thinking of rebukes doubt, encourages faith, it also breeds confidence. Daniel chapter 11, 32 tells us, "And they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits." The more we know of God, the bolder and stronger we will become because of the vision and the experience of the trustworthy nature of God. What He's done in the past is our hope for the future. We will not be equal to whatever comes our way in 2006. Our ability is simply not equal to it, whatever be the smallest problem we've got. But in God, and with God, we can overcome. He has turned us, and He can turn others to Himself. This is the confidence we have. This is our God. What then are we to do with Him? There back in Joshua chapter 23, where He sets before the people His own personal testimony of years of following the Lord. Earlier on in that same chapter, in 23 and verse 8, Joshua says, "Cleave to the Lord. Don't falter just because the problems got bigger. Don't concede, give up, and walk away just because they become different. God has been on your side fighting for you. Time after time," says Joshua, "you've faced a battle, and the Lord has fought for you. And has fought for you to an extent and provided a victory that has been beyond your greatest thoughts. He's never let you down. Cleave to the Lord." One thing the Lord does when He deals with us, whenever God lays before us a command, whenever He lays an order before us, or a challenge, God never gives it bald and without support. There is always a logical foundation on which it rests. Here He says, "Cleave." And why? Go back to chapter 23 and read it for yourselves. There He supports it with reason after reason. Isaiah 41, "Fear not. Fear not." And there He gives 1, 2, 3 reasons. For I. So often the Lord, when He gives a command, undergirds it with a logic and a reason that we can take on board and apply to ourselves. The Lord has never let us down. The only fault has been with ourselves. Remember the experience and the embarrassment of Ai. when a little man called Achan had an eye for some of the gold and the clothing and took it to himself against the commandment of God and brought disaster upon the people. Oh yes, there was a fault, but the fault was with us, not with God. God's commitment to his people, it's on a class by itself. The commitment that God makes, nobody even comes near it. You're in a different league when you follow the Lord and cleave to him. There's nothing grudging, there's nothing half-hearted about the commitment that God makes to his people. Consider him. Think of him. And stick close by him. Our hope this year then, it's not in the latest financial package that's come out of the common market talks. It's not in the political change that we've experienced in the past recent general election. Our hope this year doesn't rest upon international agreements about climate control or anything else in that currency. We leave all these things to one side. And we think this evening just simply of who and what God is. What we have discovered that he is like from his word and the way in which we can bring our own experiences in line with these teachings from his word. What we've experienced from his hand in the past. These things have firmly persuaded us that God does not change. Therefore, we go out into this year looking to the Lord. And we go out into this year entertaining the hope and the expectation in our soul and in our heart. We say it to the echo. We say it together. And we keep on saying it in the exercise of faith. God of us hath mindful been, and he will bless us still. Let us pray. Our God and our Lord, once again we bless thy name for the privilege given to us, thy people, of sitting underneath thy word. And we pray that by thy Holy Spirit thou wouldst imprint the lessons we have derived from thy word, imprint them upon our soul, so that the time that we've spent here with thyself tonight might be constantly revisited by us in the days that now stretch in front of us, so that we might yet again remind ourselves of how great thou art. Bless us, our God, each one of us as thou dost know us, and send us from this our service and this thy day, rejoicing in thee, and forgive our sins and holy privileges. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close by singing in Psalm 19, and at verse 7, God's law is perfect and converts the soul in sin that lies. God's testimony is most sure and makes the simple wise. The statutes of the Lord are right and do rejoice the heart. The Lord's command is pure and doth light to the eyes impart. Unspotted is the fear of God and doth endure forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They more than gold, yea, much fine gold to be desired are than honey. Honey from the comb that droppeth sweeter far. Moreover, they, thy servant, warn how his life should frame. A great reward provided is for them that keep the same.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.